Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Hi, this is Paula Nunes, and Taz is not with us quite yet, and what I'm going to do is put some music on, but our guest is Laura Hansen, and we'll be talking to her as soon as Taz gets on the line with us. She's calling in from San Jose. Just a moment, please. Taz is with us, and Taz, welcome.
Well, welcome. Today is really exciting. It's a day for us to take off our blinders for a while. Let us begin by asking, is our life out of control? That question could definitely open up a can of spicy thoughts for all of us. Evidently, no obstacle is too big for our guest. Life mechanics pioneer Laura Hansen, author of Hand Me a Wrench, My Life is Out of Whack. Laura will be sharing new concepts with us today to release any obstacle, so pull up your chairs, folks. And she poses a question to us. What if our life had an owner's manual along with a set of tools? And she said, we could just take our life outside, hose it off, and tune it up. And Paula, how does that sound?
That sounds pretty good. Well, Laura Hansen says that Life Mechanics is a unique training program for the soul that everyone can use to release destructive experiences and emotion-based habits. Hand Me a Wrench explores the principles of Life Mechanics, plus it provides lots of fun and creative exercises. Laura holds 5 spiritual teaching certificates, 4 advanced spiritual study certifications, and she also is considered an expert in the field of spiritual archaeology and energy mechanics. A couple of weeks ago, we met Laura personally at the Energy by Design seminars in San Francisco, and she started telling us about her book, and Taz and I looked at each other and said, well, she'll be a perfect guest because she has a lot to share with our listeners. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you very much, Taz and Paula. It's great to be here.
Wow. You know, you really excited us. You opened up a door that people really need to look at. And so why don't we start this morning and ask you, what is Life Mechanics?
It's an approach or perspective more than it's a process or a step-by-step program. And your own life shouldn't be scary, but often it really is scary because we have experiences and they echo with us and we don't know how to deal with them. And we have training and upbringing and not all of it works for us, but we don't know how to let it go. And we also often don't know where to go to find what is our way of doing things. So Life Mechanics offers a perspective and some tools for understanding your life that really transcends psychology. In fact, Life Mechanics begins where traditional therapies end, while at the same time, Life Mechanics can be integrated into traditional therapy modalities to expand the therapist's client experience. So it's not process-oriented. It's more like a wilderness hike. And you just have to figure out a few things, like what to pack, what shoes to wear, kind of a general lay of the land, and a good guide, and you can start exploring your own landscape and figure out what's going on.
Well, we get a lot of people, you know, as guests on our show, and, you know, we talk about similar things, about, you know, letting go of emotional-based habits and, you know, destructive experience. How is yours different than most other programs?
That's a great question. Thank you. It's easy to say let go, but if you don't know where it is, how do you let it go? If your pockets are full of stuff. If you don't know what pocket the thing it is you want to get out, you can't get rid of it. So what Life Mechanics does is it creates a safe way for you to find the things that you want to let go of. Because it could be that you might say, I would like to stop smoking, or I would like to have better eating habits, and all I have to do is let go of my destructive behavior. Well, the destructive behavior is a symptom of something else, and it's the something else that you want to find. The destructive behavior of eating 3 boxes of, you know, cookies and then a pizza, that's destructive behavior. But the reason for it could be, you know, when you were a little kid and your parents fought all the time, you didn't know how to handle your emotional response and you didn't want to make them mad by crying, so you had to find a way to handle it. So you discovered that eating would calm you down. And even if you, through therapy, understand that, where is it? How do you find that experience and not just remove it? Because removing it really isn't the answer. Because that means that what you did then was wrong, and it wasn't. It was right, because you're 5. And that was the best thing you could come up with at the time. So it's saying, okay, I was 5. I understand that that was a genius idea when I was 5. That was Eureka. And then embracing and accepting that you did a really good job back then. And then calling that out, and that's part of the very simple process we go through. And then that part of you that's stuck in that experience is now with you now. So you're not fighting that 5-year-old. It's with you now. And that Life Mechanics process allows you to actually find that experience, just like you're finding something in your pocket and taking it out and bringing it with you, so that you can have new decisions about how you want to deal with emotional stress.
So we can do that with anything. I mean, But, and again, sometimes it's hard to pull out those little things that are hidden.
Yeah.
Most of our problems come from our childhood?
Well, there's no rule about that, I can tell you.
Okay, no rules here.
what we end up embracing, and it ends up becoming a fear or a habit. It can be from anywhere. It can. It's wherever they are, and there in life mechanics, there's no expectations, there are no rules, and there's no process. And what I mean by process is, I'm going to learn how to eat better. Okay, I'm here, and I'm going to go through these steps, and at the end, I'm going to learn how to eat better. That is actually destructive in and of itself, because that's not how we got there. That's not how we developed an eating problem. It wasn't linear. It was a meandering network of experiences and arguments and our own thoughts that are all get connected in a complicated network. So it's just finding your way, kind of following the crumbs back to the beginning, and then moving forward and clearing all that out. And it's a lot simpler to do than it is to talk about. But in life mechanics, it's you learn tools, and then you learn how to use them for your own exploration within the landscape of your own life. And
if somebody buys your book and uses mm-hmm. it, they can actually work with your book as well as mm-hmm. a therapist, it sounds like.
Yes. In the book, there are 10 topics, kind of aspects of your life, and 10 exercises at the end of each chapter. And at the end of each chapter, it's an exploratory exercise so that you get a sense of how to find what you're looking for. So it's an approach, and you go, okay, I'm starting to get the hang of how do I find what it is that really is creating this experience. And it comes from a very strong supportive place within them. Nothing is worked on from the aspect of the problem. I do not approach it from you have a problem. I approach it from you have a life, you have experience, you have your way of expressing your life. Okay, let's see if we can unravel it so that you can be you and express how you wish to now instead of expressing through these decisions we made maybe earlier in our life that were the best idea we had at the time but no longer serve us, and how to disconnect that and create new choices.
Releasing the vapors piece by piece.
Yeah.
Kind of cracking that lid just a little bit and being able to smell what's hidden. It's interesting. When you wrote your book, I mean, was there anything that in particular triggered you to write this book, Hand Me a Wrench, My Life is Out of Whack?
Well, the main message of the book and the reason I wrote it was to lay out for myself what I feel is the most important thing before anybody decides to make any change in their life. And that is that you have the ability and the strength to answer any question, remove any burden, or solve any mystery within your own life. That everything within you is findable, definable, and changeable. And this was my own journey coming to this and through my training and teaching. and in everybody I work with, this is where we start. You, in my experience over the last 24 years or so doing this, it is almost impossible to solve a problem or change a behavior holistically and effectively and with lasting results if you do it by sitting in the problem. Just like if you're standing in a cow patty, the first thing you do is step out of the cow patty and then wipe off your shoe. You don't wipe off your shoe and then step back in the cow patty. You have to get out of the problem. So you but where do you go? And that is the scariest thing for most of us, is I only know the problem. I don't know where to go. And the fundamental message in the book is that you're good and that you're separate from your life and that there is a place within you that is strong and creative, and that's where you can step into. And that's your place of strength where you can look and say, oh, okay, now I'm at home base, I'm safe, I can now kind of work on how I want my life to go and really be the great person that you are. Once you start to step out of your problems, you begin to see, you know, I'm not a problem, I'm great. I have these things I want to change, but I am not a problem.
That's such a wonderful message.
Thing.
Yeah, that's a great message, Laura. I'm thinking your book alone was, you know, so maybe you were, in order to develop your book, you must have been really investigating your own individual aspects and thought, oh my gosh, this really works, you know. And then you began to put it together. Is that what really took place with your book?
Let's see. I've been developing through my work and teaching and training. I've been developing and refining this particular approach, and I'll call it a non-process process.
Okay.
And what I did for writing the book was I wrote out probably 7 or 8 times as much material of all of my teaching and as much information as I had, and then I started distilling it down to if I talked with somebody I didn't know and I started from scratch, what would I say to them? And that's how I organized the book, is really as a conversation with somebody or a group of people, just starting from the beginning and moving forward. Just like as if I were teaching a workshop. So it had to be fun, it had to make sense, it had to be in everyday language, and it had to be right to the point. So I worked very hard to have zero fluff in the book. So it's exactly how I talk, but it took about a year to distill everything down to these very simple but I think helpful points of view and methods for looking at things and making some changes.
So did you start out teaching workshops on this subject?
My teaching experience is as a staff member at the Berkeley Psychic Institute, which is, I think, the world's best training center for spiritual mechanics and for anybody wanting to understand how energy moves. And I've been a teacher there for 20 years or so, and I also teach outside that organization. And so I teach classes and retreats. I'm teaching a series of classes now online on kind of the hot topics in our lives. And I also do a lot of articles for the Internet so people can read my points of view on celebrities and politics and trends in America and things like that. And my goal is to just keep talking to people and saying hello. And
well, it sounds like everyone can use this. And I was just wondering, my gosh, it might be even fun to have three or four people together kind of helping each other with this book. Does that book lend itself to that?
It does. And in fact, I just finished recording a 15-class series on the book, each chapter of the book. There are 10 chapters, but some of them are long, and I broke them up. So there's a 15-class series that I'm in the middle of editing that I'll have available for people to purchase so that they can work in groups. And it is an online class. I'm sorry, it is a class recording of a live class of about 8 to 10 people. So they can hear the input from the other members. They can use it as a guide as they work through the book themselves or with a group on their own. But absolutely, and in fact, some therapists have used the book as an aid for their clients.
Were there any surprises in developing your book that you didn't anticipate?
Yes. Yes, there were. I did about 15 drafts of it, just trying to get the right voice down. And it was on a walk with my husband, and I was complaining that I have everything in the book, but it's not right. I don't like the voice. It's not right, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And he said, just write like you talk. I went, oh. So I rewrote the whole book in my own voice as if I were talking. And that would seem like that's the most obvious thing. If what I do all day is talk with people, that I would write the book that way. But I've also had a career as a writer, so I wrote it as a writer instead of as a teacher. And that was a humbling revelation to myself, but thank God for my husband who knows me well and with one sentence transformed the book for me, and I was able to get it where I wanted it.
Well, that's good advice for a lot of people that are writing similar books. That's good for them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes too critical when you becoming the author, and then it's not your voice.
Yes, and the other surprise was going through the exercises. When I was done, I tried to make the exercises just very fun and simple, but I also believe in, if you're going to do the work, I mean, go for it. We're not playing around. This is your life, and it has tremendous value. And when I was done with the exercises and I went through them myself, I went, my gosh, these are hard. There you go. They work, but they're hard. Like, you have to be honest with yourself. But, you know, that's the way it is. Our lives are important, and why mess around? And the feedback I've gotten is that readers find the exercises transformational, and they kicked their butts.
Wow.
Well, talking about working with a group, you'd really have to have trust, because if you're going to be totally, truthful,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a lot of trust with the people that you're working with.
Yes, and that's an important part of the work I do with myself and anybody else, is there has to be an environment of acceptance and no expectation and no judgment.
Yeah, lots of love. I mean, you know, the depth. Yeah, lots of depth.
Lots of love.
Yeah. It's wonderful. I mean, to be able to have feedback that would be given with love and support. And I kind of, for some reason, I really feel like, even though I haven't read the book, that this, and just meeting, actually, we got to meet your husband as well that particular day in San Francisco.
Right.
And, you know, the love that you bring forth with each other, and that was wonderful. And it just, I can imagine that it just amplifies in your book. And the depths of being able to nurture one's soul and grab pieces of this and be able to hang on to it. You know, sometimes we try and grab onto something and then our mind kind of flits back and forth and we never really go to a deeper level. So to be able to have that tool to be able to hold on kind of inch by inch yourself up that thread and find out where things were and pull it out, it's such a blessing, you know.
It is, and it's not nearly as hard as it seems. It only seems difficult because our mind tries to do it, but it's not the mind's job to figure this stuff out. It's our job, and we're the ones with free will. Our mind kind of processes whatever we put in it. But it's our job, and that's who I've written the book for, is not for the mind or the body, but for you, that super bright, creative, happy aspect of yourself, for you as the soul. And it's very simple and profound when you reach in and say, I've got this. Let me take this fear and just move it out. Let's get it out. And that creates room for the joy and the creativity that you have.
Well, sometimes we assume the soul is more complicated than what it really is.
Yes. And that complication is, I believe, there's been some divorce between our lives and us as a spirit or as a soul, and we're coming back to that. We're reconnecting. And any time, you know, you don't understand something, it's complicated because you don't understand it. And once you see it, see yourself and go, oh, you mean this is me? Well,
that's so simple. Why didn't I see it?
Because we're conditioned not to understand what is us. It's the gigantic elephant in the room in our society. And there are a lot of good people that are addressing this so that the simplicity of us creating our lives and living it with integrity and self-love. I mean, they're making progress. We're moving in that direction.
Sometimes, you know, when you said integrity, I don't think people put integrity towards how you love yourself. You know, people think of integrity as how you treat others. We forget about ourselves.
We do. And a big part of the book is reminding ourselves of how to honor our own lives and have integrity for it. We often compromise our own integrity of our lives, the structure of our lives, the strength of it, the support of it, in order to help others. It's the sacrifice concept. However, you can help others and even more so when you do it from a place of your own inner strength and integrity. It comes from a more stable place when you help someone from that, and both are stronger. And the sacrifice concept is also something that isn't addressed in the book by saying the word sacrifice, but it's addressed in every word by presenting a different point of view.
Now, what exactly is spiritual
spiritual archaeology?
Yes, I got tongue-tied there.
It's the art of uncovering the artifacts of our lives that form our core thought processes and behaviors. And, you know, there is a school of thought that our thoughts are part of our mind, that they're in our mind. And there's another school of thought that says it's not. And my experience with this is that your life is around you and within you, and it builds in depth and in complexity as the days pass, that your thoughts are not in your head. Your mind projects them through thought, but they are actually kind of enlivened memories. They're active pieces of our lives within us and around us, and that's and what you're able to do is navigate that landscape. And using the analogy of archaeology, is you can dig down, so to speak, down to the first thing that got this whole thing going with overeating or a bad temper, whatever it is. You go, aha! So it's spiritual archaeology is part of life mechanics. It's the concept that thoughts and experiences are not located abstractly in the mind, but they're energy objects you can hold in your hand, dig for, brush off, understand, then store off-site if you need to. And
I like that. Store it off-site.
Yes, way off-site.
I discovered it, and I don't have to keep it. I'm going to put it over here.
Exactly, and that's what I teach people how to do with tools and some techniques, is how to do that for themselves so that they can have confidence that their life doesn't have to be a scary thing, that they can have certainty about where they sit in their lives, the strength they have, and that they can, you know, they can find a quiet place and they can start to find these things and move things around and create more room for them to be who they are instead of always running into everything they're not.
Is there any ever, when you discover something and put it in another place, is there any residue that's left behind sometimes?
There can be, which is why we, you know, take a broom and hose with us and make sure we get it all. There can be, but we try and be thorough.
Oh, here it comes again. Whoa, let's put it back over there.
Right. Well, you know what? Can you take us through an exercise, maybe a quick exercise to give people a tangible feeling of what they'll look at? And, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll do one that's very simple and anyone can do without any preparation. And this will require at least one hand. So if you have two, great. If you have one free, that's fine. And just hold your hands out in front of you as if you were holding a basketball in front of you. And just take a slow breath and just let yourself relax in your chair, like if you're just resting holding a basketball. And would you let the love that you have for yourself fill in that space between your hands in the shape of a ball. and your hands may get tingly. Your hands may actually start to feel heavy because of the weight of what is of what you're gathering there. Or it might feel light, the opposite. And then just glide your hand around this ball. Just notice what comes to mind, how your hands feel. And since it's us three on the in this interview, do either of you have a comment on what you notice?
My ball grew.
Oh, excellent. Bigger than a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel warmth around the ball and an energy.
Mm-hmm. And it became
now,
pink.
Oh, it turned pink?
Uh-huh.
Now, what you are holding in your hands is your own love for yourself as a soul for your life. And what is more remarkable than you being able to hold this in your hands is that you knew exactly what to do. You knew exactly who you were as a soul, and you easily expressed it to yourself so your body and mind could perceive this reality. We didn't go through a long session. We didn't discuss the concept. I just said, create it. And you said, I know. I know what that is. I know my love for myself. And there you are. And that's the joy of this life mechanics approach is that we're working with you, and it's all around you and within you. And we just need to ask. So with this ball, would you now just move it toward your chest and let it kind of soak through, and as if it were a ball of light, just shine through your whole body. And one of the issues in our society today, I believe, is that we're afraid to ask the question, because we're afraid of what the answer will be. We're afraid the answer will be, you don't have a soul, or you're a bad person, or you don't have love for yourself. But that will never be the answer. The book gives the reader permission to ask the question and remember that the answer is always one that they wish to hear.
You know, I could see this working so well with teenagers. If you could get a
yes.
group of teenagers that would accept this, that would be wonderful for them. They would be able to start life young and knowing their soul.
Yes, and actually the people I'm most interested in teaching and the people I work with most often are people in their early 20s to mid-30s. And when I do run into teenagers and work with them, they're just so quick. And it's just amazing to watch them. They just take it and run with it. They say, got it. Thanks. I'm good to go.
Have you ever worked with children or teenagers or early 20s that are addicted to drugs? Or 'cause sometimes
yes.
that's the reason why they are. I mean, that's probably the reason why they are, is a lack of self-love.
It's a lot of things, and I have worked with teens that have a variety of issues, you know, drug abuse or a very difficult family environment or violence or crime. And in working with them, it always comes back to they're just trying to make it through the day. And they feel backed up against a wall, and they don't know what to do. They need a place to stand. And what we work on is just creating space for them to just back away from the fear that they're in, and then say, okay, let's find your spot where you have all the strength to run your life. Let's go there. That's where you stand. No matter what happens to you, you can make a better decision. So they learn how to be, where to go, kind of like real estate, location, location, location. Find out where do you go, because they don't want to sit in the fear anymore. They don't want to be in the abuse. They don't know where to stand. And so that's what we work on. And once they're there, their dynamic creativity and expression just, it just blossoms. It's just so incredible.
I know, because that would be just, but you're working with teenagers, because you just think about what they go through just to be accepted, or some high schools are like being in a war zone, and if they know who they are and where to go, that is just such a gift.
It is, and it helps them deal with the environment they're in, and they use it to give themselves a little more mobility in looking at how do they want to change, where they are. How can they get out of the environment? But the first step is how do you survive in the environment? How do you maintain your inner integrity so that you don't lose yourself? And then, you just have a much better chance of being able to make decisions that serve you, because you're in touch with the you that you wish that you are.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to give your book to a friend of mine who works with women's battered shelters.
Oh,
because I think that would be perfect.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We need to let people know we're talking with Laura Hansen. She's a pioneer in the field of life mechanics and the author of Hand Me a Wrench, My Life is Out of Whack. And
is the book available on Amazon yet? Or?
It is. It's on Amazon, and it's also available on – I have two websites. One is just for the book, called handmeawrench.com, and then also on my main website, which is RevLauraHansen.com, and you can also get it on Amazon.
And can you also still have a free chapter to read to sample the book?
Yes. On Amazon, they have the Look Inside feature, and I don't know if they offer the whole, one whole chapter, but there's a nice chunk of it, I think. And on the Hand Me a Wrench .com website, you can download a chapter. I think it's a chapter and a half, actually, for free. And then you can either get the book either place, Amazon or on my website.
So you also let people know about your classes you're going to be doing on the internet?
On the RevLauraHansen.com website, I just finished a class on love. I'm teaching a class on money, and that is underway and closed because we're in the second week. And the next class that I'm teaching starts at the beginning of May, and I believe that is on health. I'll get it right now. It is.
So that's,
yes.
That's
actually
interesting.
It's on your whole life, free will and living your life. So it's the whole thing. And that starts May 6th.
Well, the health aspect, I was going to ask you about that. It was in my mind. You can really help yourself health-wise, I would think, being able to do this work through your book. Because a lot of our health problems come from experiences that we've had, and we've kind of like haven't found them yet.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed in working with people is if we can't resolve something any other way, we will created ailment so that we can get it out of our lives somehow, which is why often when people are diagnosed with cancer, it becomes a transformative experience for them personally and spiritually. You know, they decide they're going to change their life, they're going to make new types of decisions, have a different lifestyle, a new outlook on life, because they couldn't find any other way to break through all of kind of the bureaucracy of their fears and beliefs and the different conditioning. But they know who they are, and they're trying to break out, so they create the disease as the catalyst. That's kind of the trump. You know, if you create a disease, that breaks through everything. All bets are off. And with the life mechanics tools, you're able to kind of take the pressure off and make those changes before you get to the point where you decide to create a disease to heal yourself.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah.
So, but if you're in the middle,
you know, yeah.
So if you're in the middle of your disease, reverse is on the other aspect of looking at things, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would say that regarding disease, that it's not cut and dried. It's not always a spiritual, it's not always a spiritual expression. It can be many things. And what I find important to remember is that there are no rules, that we're dynamic people, and we're complicated. And I think what's happened in our society is we've tried to create a process for everything, tried to create a simple step-by-step plan for everything. And I think that's the wrong way to go, because we're not built as a process. We're built as a dynamic, you know, very creative, intuitive being. And it's not nothing's in a straight line. And so those of us that are working with disease, there are many reasons for it, and the reason for each person and why they're creating it or why it's happened to them and how they're enduring it is a unique, it's a unique experience that needs to be honored, and that person not looked at as a disempowered victim, but that they have the strength regardless to experience this disease however they wish, that it's within them to still choose, that they're not a victim to it.
Now, have you witnessed anyone that's been able to reverse their cancer by working on their spiritual side?
Yes. One that comes to mind, and I'd like to preface this by, this is unique, and it was this person's wish to have this experience in this way. This isn't a cure for cancer.
Right.
It is based upon that person's, what did they wish to experience? So in this one session, this is a woman was diagnosed with breast cancer a few days earlier, and she knew that she could. She just couldn't believe that she would create this, but she did. And I worked with her on, you know, what is it? What is this cancer? You know, what was the start of it? And we followed it back, and it was her relationship with her mother and the guilt she felt, and it was kind of involved, but we kind of sketched it all out. And she went, oh, you know, she remembered. She got it. She goes, oh, okay, I see why. I see why I'm guilty. I see. And she goes, okay. She got her answer. And she was able to find that memory, find that decision she made of, you know, taking on the guilt from her mother and helping her mother feel better by her feeling, the daughter feeling guilty. So she let that go. She found it. She removed it, just like something out of your pocket. And she went back for her follow-up tests, and the cancer wasn't there anymore. Because what she wanted was that answer. And once she got it, then she could, she no longer needed to have the physical manifestation of it. But other people, it's important for them that they go through a disease experience because it's a rich experience as a spirit. And I've watched this in many of the hospital visits that I've made, that everybody has a different reason. And everything is a growth process for understanding who we are. And it's important to honor that and to let them have their experience and support them however we can.
Have you ever noticed children that have cancer are so wise? I mean, they talk to little children, 7, 8 years old, and they just become little adults with such wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What I've noticed with some of those children is they know that they're not going to be a kid. So they get to just be who they are as a soul. They know that they're not, those that don't live through it, they know that this is it. So they're not going to have the experience of going through childhood. But they do wish to be in the life for a period of time to give communication, to have certain experiences for their own growth. So they choose not to step into the role of the child and have those experiences because they're not there for that growth. That's what I've noticed.
Wow, that gives me goosebumps.
Well, it sounds like you've worked with all ages and in all different circumstances.
Yes. And it's just a joy for me to, I mean, if I could, I would like to say hello to everybody. I would like to meet everyone and say hi. And look at the life they're creating and honor it. And yes.
I see that you're in the 916 area. Do you live near Sacramento?
I live in Sacramento.
Oh, okay, close to me.
Oh, I suppose so then. Welcome, neighbor.
Welcome. I was just wondering if you gave actual workshops in person, other than on the web.
I will be soon, and I'll be putting that information on my website, and on my website there is a contact form where if you give me your email address, then I'll keep you up to date on what I'm doing.
Hmm.
Yes, great. I do plan on something later in the summer, possibly, or sooner. I'm just working out the schedule now, actually.
Oh, good. So,
so
we can just
your
look at
website.
Your website
is, ReverendLauraHanson.com?
Yes, the short version, so ReverendLauraHanson.com.
Okay.
And if you just Google Laura Hansen, then I should pop up pretty quickly.
Great.
Very good. Boy, we've touched on a little bit of everything today.
I was going to say, a wide spectrum here. This book has really brought out a lot of wonderful details, and I'm just really so excited to realize that you work with groups, and I think other people might really like that too. Very nice.
Yeah, the more the better, because the more people there are, the safer it is actually to create change. And yes, because we all wish to be, you know, we wish to be happy, but I believe what we wish most is to understand and accept, and then so much is possible. And that's what I enjoy doing most.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're out there. I mean, you want to touch everyone, but you're out there touching quite a few.
Yeah, I was going to say. But your heart is, I mean, you know, you talk about your soul tickling all of us out here. We're really hearing you. You know, it's such a wonderful gift that you bring. Is there anything that we have a couple minutes. Is there anything that you want to tell our listeners that maybe we didn't touch upon?
Boy.
Are you up to another book?
Well, I have a list of 15 that I have a list. The second book is in final design stage, and it's a compilation of my daily insight email subscription. I wrote a couple years worth of daily insights, and it's a free subscription, and I took about 150 of everyone's favorites, and I'm putting it in a little book. And the other book that's underway is a book of 30 profiles of a person's actual life, you know, their daily life, and also the other side of it, their spiritual life. And the goal of that book is for people to see just the beauty and the complexity and the value of everyone's life from all parts of society, and that why we do the things we do and why we have the kind of life we have is for a very important reason, that there is no value system, a scale of you have this kind of life, so you're successful. You have this kind of life, so that you're a loser. That's a concept that us as souls don't ascribe to. And so this third book is a profile showing how amazing and beautiful the soul is and why it decides it wants to be homeless, or the information it's getting and the steps it's taking in their own growth by being a parking lot attendant or being a CEO of a company or being this or that, that we're all just trying on different hats so we understand and can learn all aspects of life. There's no contest, and there's no winner. And I'm very excited about that book. And I don't know when it will be out because it's taking a while to put together, but I'm excited about it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, life is no contest. I love that. That's such a great line. And, you know, it's something that we need to really covet and just, you know, be with ourselves and understand that, you know, our growth is our growth, and it comes when we need it, and, you know, it's very precious.
And
thank
we can
you.
Meet our soul on the way.
Yeah. Yes. We can meet ourselves really on the way. Laura, it's been absolutely fabulous. Oh, well, we're so glad we got to have a spot of time with you.
Let's give out her website one more time.
It's been a pleasure.
Her website's ReverendLauraHanson.com.
And so it's a short, though. It's R-E-V, LauraHanson.com. And then the other one is HandMeAWrench.com.
Correct. Yes, thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you, Laura, for being with us today.
It was fantastic.
We've enjoyed our conversation and learned a lot.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Have a great day.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.